Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program is designed for people learning English. We speak slowly, using a simple style and limited vocabulary. Today on the show, we have reports from Ashley Thompson and me. Later, we bring you Ask a Teacher. Anne Ball answers a question about weight and a weight. And we close the show with an American story. Today, we hear part three of the Edgar Allan Poe story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue. But first, here's Susan Shand.
By the year 2030, African children will make up more than half of the world's poor people, warns a new report. The warning comes as more than 150 world leaders prepare to attend the United Nations Sustainable Development Summit. The conference opens in New York City on September 25th. UN member states agreed on 17 Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, at the 2015 General Assembly meetings. Number one on the list of goals is ending extreme poverty by 2030. But the world will not meet that target, the report said. It added that international efforts to end extreme poverty among children in Africa are a failure. The report comes from the aid group Save the Children and the London-based Overseas Development Institute. Children in Africa will account for around 55% of all extreme poverty in the world by 2030, notes Kevin Watkins. He is the head of Save the Children UK. An estimated 87 million African children will be born into poverty each year in the 2020s, the report said. It noted that about 40% of Africans still live on less than $1.90 a day. Women are still having 4 to 5 children, and it's the part of the world where poverty is coming down most slowly, partly because of slow growth, but also because of very high levels of inequality, Watkins said. A child born into poverty, they are between 2 and 3 times more likely to die before their 5th birthday. They are far less likely to escape poverty themselves, he added. The report criticizes African governments for failing to develop reasonable policies. It also warns that the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and other donors are failing in their efforts to end child poverty in Africa. Watkins said big changes are needed immediately. Getting financial resources to children who are living in poverty has to be part of the solution, Watkins said. But we also know that money is not enough. He added that the children will need healthful food, basic medical care, and quality education to beat poverty. The report warns that if poverty reduction targets are not met, the world will also fall short on other development goals in education, health, and gender equality. I'm Susan Shand.
Millions of young people from Kiribati to Germany, marched Friday to demand that world leaders take action to fight climate change. In Australia, protesters marched in 110 towns and cities, including Sydney and the capital, Canberra. Organizers expected more than 300,000 people to march, the country's largest demonstration since protests against the Iraq War in 2003. One 15-year-old student told the Associated Press, "Even though we ourselves aren't sick, the planet which we live on is, and we are protesting and fighting for it." In the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati, students shouted, "We are not sinking, we are fighting." Rising sea levels have already washed away some villages there. In Afghanistan, armed soldiers protected about 100 people marching through the streets of Kabul. A group of young women led the protesters. One organizer said, "The problem in Afghanistan is our leaders are fighting for power, but the real power is in nature." In the German capital of Berlin, about 80,000 protesters gathered at the Brandenburg Gate. In the nearby offices of Chancellor Angela Merkel, German lawmakers worked on a plan to limit the country's greenhouse gas emissions. Hundreds of protests took place across Europe. In Finland's capital, Helsinki, a man dressed as Santa Claus stood outside Parliament, holding a sign that read, "My house is on fire. My reindeer can't swim." In Tokyo, Japan, students and activists carried signs reading, "Go Green" and "Save the Earth." Similar protests took place in South Korea, the Philippines, Pakistan, and India. Events also were held in South Africa, Nigeria, Uganda, and Kenya. In Nairobi, some protesters wore hats made from plastic bottles to bring attention to plastic waste, a major threat to the world's oceans. More than 1 million students in New York City got permission to skip classes in order to protest. In the hurricane-damaged U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, people lined the streets demanding action. Metal workers in Brazil joined the worldwide protests from factory floors. They urged leaders to better defend the environment. The worldwide events were inspired by 16-year-old Greta Thunberg of Sweden. Over the last year, the climate activist has been holding weekly demonstrations called Fridays for Future. Her protests have led to a rise of young people demanding action on climate change from leaders around the world. Thunberg is set to speak at the UN Climate Action Summit in New York City next week. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is asking world leaders to arrive with plans to address what he called the global climate emergency. Scientists say global warming, caused by heat-trapping greenhouse gases, has already led to more severe dry weather and heat waves, melting ice, rising sea levels, and flooding. The last 4 years were the four hottest ever recorded. I'm Ashley Thompson.
About 75 people arrived at the entrance to the once-secret Area 51 military site in the American state of Nevada early Friday to storm the base to see creatures from outer space. Law enforcement officers detained at least two of the people. In June, a post inviting people to storm the site appeared on the internet. Millions of people saw the message. The Storm Area 51 invitation led to musical performances and other events in Rachel and Hico, two small towns near the base. Lincoln County Sheriff Carrie Lee estimated late Thursday that about 1,500 people had gathered for the events. Lee said more than 150 people traveled several additional kilometers down dirt roads to get within selfie distance of the base. Area 51 has long been reported as a place where the United States government held beings from other planets. "They can't stop all of us," read the internet invitation. "Let's see them aliens." The military answered with warnings that deadly force could be used if people entered the Nevada test and training range. State and local officials said arrests would be made if people tried. "It's public land," said the sheriff. "They're allowed to go to the gate as long as they don't cross the boundary." A music group called Wiley Savage set up to perform Thursday near the Little A. Lee Inn Hotel in Rachel. They began playing after dark for several hundred campers. Daniel Martinez is a 31-year-old businessman from California. He was among the first to dance at the celebration. He wore a wolf spirit hood and a fur top. Air temperatures dropped to about 7 degrees Celsius Thursday night. "Here's a big open space for people to be," he said. "One person starts something and it infects everybody with positivity. Anything can happen if you give people a place to be." Other weekend events include a gathering Friday and Saturday at the Alien Research Center store in Hico. Owner George Harris said those attending could enjoy music, movies, and talks about extraterrestrial reports. Officials reported no serious incidents related to the events, which are to take place through Sunday. Michael Ian Borer is a sociologist working at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He studies popular culture and paranormal activity. Borer called the celebrations a perfect blend of interest in aliens and the supernatural, government conspiracies, and the desire to know what we don't know. He added that Area 51 is a place where normal, ordinary citizens can't go. "When you tell people they can't do something, they just want to do it more." Eric Holt, the Lincoln County Emergency Manager, said he believed officials could deal with as many as 30,000 visitors. Still, neighbors prepared for trouble after millions of people answered the internet post. "Those that know what to expect camping in the desert are going to have a good time," said Jörg Arnu of Rachel. He was concerned about those who do not. "It will get cold at night. They're not going to find what they're looking for, and they are going to get angry," Arnu said. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration closed nearby airspace, although Air Force planes could be heard in the sky.
This week, we answer Van's question. Van writes, could you give me the explanation about the difference between weight and a weight? Dear Van, thanks for writing us. The two words have the same basic meaning, but they are used differently. Weight is a verb and a noun. It means to stay in a place until an expected event happens. Here is an example. We wait for the train to come. Or, I hate to wait in long lines. And, I waited for my friend to arrive. Also, it is often followed by to and a verb, like this. I'm waiting to see the doctor. As a noun, wait refers to the act or time of waiting. After a short wait, I saw my doctor. Now, how is a wait different? First, there is no noun form. A wait is used only as a verb and requires an object. It is often used in more formal or serious writing and speaking. It takes the place of to wait for. For example, you can say, we await your answers to these questions, instead of, we wait for your answers to these questions. It is commonly used when you are waiting for something expected, but not in the immediate sense. For example, the couple await the birth of their first child. Or, the suspect is in jail awaiting trial. And that's Ask a Teacher. We await further questions from our English learners. I'm Ann Ball.
The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe. Part 3.
My housemate in Paris, Auguste Dupin, was an interesting young man with a busy, forceful mind. This mind could, it seemed, look right through a man's body into his deepest soul. After reading in the newspaper about the terrible murder of a woman and her daughter, Dupin was consumed with the mystery. He questioned the ability of the Paris police to solve the crime. I told Dupin that it seemed to me that it was not possible to explain the strange details surrounding the killings.
No, no. I think you are wrong. A mystery it is, yes. But there must be an answer. There must. Let us go to the house where it happened and see what we can see. I know the head of the police, and he will permit our visit. It will be interesting and give us some pleasure.
I thought it strange that Dupin thought the activity would give us pleasure, but I said nothing. It was late in the afternoon when we reached the house on the Rue Morgue. It was easily found, for there were still many persons, in fact a crowd, standing there looking at it. Before going in, we walked all around it, and Dupin carefully looked at the neighboring houses as well. I could not understand the reason for such great care. Finally, we entered the house. We went up the stairs to the room where the daughter's body was found. Both bodies were in the room now. The police had left the room as they had found it in every other way. I saw nothing beyond what the newspaper had told us. Dupin looked with great care at everything, at the bodies, the walls, the fireplace, the windows. Then we went home. Dupin said nothing. I could see the cold look in his eyes, which told me that his mind was working busily, quickly. Dupin said nothing about our exploration until the next morning, when he suddenly asked me a question.
Did you not notice something especially strange about what we saw at the house on the Rue Morgue?
Nothing more than what we both read in the newspaper, which was unusual indeed. How shall we explain the horrible force, the unusual strength used in these murders? And whose were the voices that were heard? No one was found except the dead women. Yet there was no way for anyone to escape. And the wild condition of the room, the body which was found head down in the chimney, the terrible broken appearance of the body of the old lady, with its head cut off. These are all so far from what might be expected that the police are standing still. They don't know where to begin.
These things are unusual indeed, but they are not deep mysteries. We should not ask what has happened, but what has happened that has never happened before. In fact, the very things that the police think cannot possibly be explained are the things which will lead me to the answer. Indeed, I believe they have already led me to the answer.
I was so surprised that I could not say a word. Dupin looked quickly at the door.
I am now waiting for a person who will know something about these murders, these wild killings. I do not think he did them himself, but I think he will know the killer. I hope I am right about this. If I am, then I expect to find the whole answer today. I expect the man here, in this room, at any moment. It is true that he may not come, but he probably will.
But who is this person? How did you find him?
I'll tell you. While we wait for this man we do not know, for I have never met him, while we wait, I will tell you how my thoughts went.
Dupin began to talk, but it did not seem that he was trying to explain to me what he had thought. It seemed that he was talking to himself. He looked not at me, but at the wall.
It has been fully proved that the voices heard by the neighbors were not the voices of the women who were killed. Someone else was in the room. It is therefore certain that the old woman did not first kill her daughter and then kill herself. She would not have been strong enough to put her daughter's body where it was found. And the manner of the old lady's death shows that she could not have caused it herself. A person can kill himself with a knife, yes, but he surely cannot cut his own head almost off, then drop the knife on the floor and jump out the window. It was murder, then, done by some third person or persons. And the voices heard were the voices of these persons. Let us now think carefully about the things people said about those voices. Did you notice anything especially strange in what was told about them?
Well, yes. Everybody agreed that the low voice was the voice of a Frenchman. But they could not agree about the high voice.
Ah, that was what they said, yes. But that was not what was so strange about what they said. You say you have noticed nothing that makes their stories very different from what might have been expected. Yet there was something. All these persons, as you say, agreed about the low voice. but not about the high, hard voice. The strange thing here is that when an Italian, an Englishman, a Spaniard, and a Frenchman tried to tell what the voice was like, each one said it sounded like the voice of a foreigner. How strangely unusual that voice really must have been. Here are four men from four big countries, and not one of them could understand what the voice said. Each one gave it a different name. Now, I know that there are other countries in the world. You will say that perhaps it was the voice of someone from one of those other lands. Russia, perhaps. But remember, not one of these people heard anything that sounded like a separate word.
Here, Dupin turned and looked at me.
This is what we have learned from the newspaper. I don't know what I have led you to think, but I believe that in this much of the story, there are enough facts to lead us in the one and only direction to the right answer. What this answer is, I will not say. Not yet. But I want you to keep in mind that this much was enough to tell me what I must look for when we were in that house on the Rue Morgue. And I found it. What did I first look for? The path of escape, of course. I mean, we agree the killers were not ghosts. They could not move through walls. So, how did they escape? At first, I saw no way out. It had been necessary for the neighbors to break down the door in order to enter the room. There was no other door. The opening above the fireplace is too narrow for even a child to go through. That leaves only the windows. We must make that exit somehow possible. Remember, there are two windows in the room. Both of them, you will remember, are made of two parts. To open the window, one must lift up the bottom half. One of these windows is easily seen. The lower part of the other is out of sight behind the big bed. I looked carefully at the first of these windows. It was firmly closed, fastened like the door on the inside. To keep the window closed, to fasten it, someone had put a strong iron nail into the wood at the side of the window in such a way that the window could not be raised. At least it seemed that the nail held the window closed. The nail was easy to see. There it was. And the people who discovered the killings used their greatest strength and could not raise the window. I, too, tried to raise the window and could not. I went to the second window and looked behind the bed at the lower half of the window. There was a nail here, too, which held the window closed. Without moving the bed, I tried to open this window also, and again I could not do so. But I did not stop looking for an answer there.
That's our show for today, but we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with more stories from around the world. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.